What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. This is the Fightful Backstage Report podcast. Let's go ahead and get into the news. Lots this week on Matt Cardona, on WWE, even MLW, Impact, all over the place. We got a little bit of everything over here. Let's go ahead and talk about NXT, WWE, all that good stuff. Much was made about Keith Lee's new WWE theme, which debuted on Raw and was poorly received by fans and critics alike. Fightful learned that Lee signed off on the change, but WWE has also been urging talent to ditch their CFO's theme. That former music group no longer works with WWE, and I believe one of them is completely out of music whatsoever. They have split, but they had a bad publishing deal that sees their publisher get half of the royalties. WWE did not want that deal to continue. They do not have the same deals they had with Jim Johnston, and one person in the music business said, I don't know why anybody would take that deal or take the Jim Johnston deal unless they just wanted to make music for WWE, and that was their priority. So WWE has been urging people to stop using the CFO's theme. That way they do not have to keep supplying royalties for those tunes. There have been some wrestlers that have said, no, this new theme is bad. It's like they're not getting good reception for these new themes. Keith Lee was one of those. He did post on Twitter that the music is out of his hands. It is largely out of his hands. They make that decision, but from what I understand, he made it very easy for them, as he probably should have. It's his debut. They have big plans for him. So, I mean, ultimately, would the music help? Would better music help? Of course, better music would help. But he's getting quite the push, as we have seen on WWE Payback. You can hear my full thoughts on that. But new theme didn't go over so well. WWE is probably going to have more bad ones like that. What a bummer. Raw Underground. So, I learned that a ton of footage was scrapped from last week's show before it was even viewed. Throughout the evening, I got some messages from people in the know saying that Jessamyn Duke did exceptionally well on there. She got about a minute squash match, and she was getting high praise for her striking. That's not a surprise. This is a former UFC fighter, a former pro MMA fighter, a former Muay Thai fighter, so she's more adept at striking than I would say about 99% of the people on the WWE roster, whether it be NXT, coaches, whatever that may be. And I heard that it was well-received, people liked it, said it was one of the better underground segments, period. Following her win, Marina Shafir took on another enhancement wrestler, won that in dominant fashion. Marina Shafir, also a former MMA fighter. So you have people with honest-to-God experience here that are doing these Raw Underground matches, and I don't know how, I didn't hear a lot about Marina's, but I heard a lot about Jessamyn Duke's. And they never aired. Later on, Titus O'Neil was given a spotlight on there. Like, from what I understand, and I can't confirm this, from what I understand, he was featured on there, and then they went into a Riddick Moss match with Titus. I don't know who won that. Lastly, Ivar faced Dolph Ziggler, and Angel Garza got involved, which resulted in a bunch of bumps everywhere. I heard that it got really crazy. This match was actually advertised. It was actually advertised for Raw. They mentioned it while on WWE Raw, and then they came in and scrapped it, which I was told those were the big Raw changes. That Raw Underground was scrapped, and they moved it to the Bobby Lashley showcase, and there weren't like incredible changes or shifts as originally reported. It was that Raw Underground got completely scrapped, and they changed it to a Bobby Lashley showcase and a Hurt Business showcase. Either way, I mean, I don't know if they'll run it this week. I don't know how they'll do that. They still got Dolph Ziggler involved last week and Ivar involved last week. So maybe they'll use that to build up this week and they'll just use the footage this week. I don't know. But they talked about Ivar facing Dolph Ziggler on that show and then didn't do it. It was very, very odd. Not that this one is a big surprise, considering Karrion Kross just won the NXT title. But a source within NXT told Fightful that Karrion Kross's push has been the product of both Triple H and Matt Bloom. As soon as Kross became available and met with WWE, they were in on pushing him heavily. And I was told that he made a very great impression on Triple H. Obviously, he became champion. But one person in NXT noted to me that they have never seen anyone there in their time held in such high regard by management, and it was showing in the push for Cross. And he was said to have been very easy to deal with in NXT after having that contract dispute in Impact Wrestling. Some wondered how that would work out, and you know, you're working with your girlfriend, you're doing a lot of this stuff. There were some question marks there, and based on how the contract talks went with Impact, or the dispute went with Impact. But it's said to have been positive for WWE, positive for Cross, and things are going pretty well. Pretty well. We got some random bits of news. If you guys saw it last week, I did a Just Incredible making a finisher last week. It was a lot of fun. I love those. He told us that his spinning tombstone pile driver was actually an accident. And originally, he and Jerry Lynn just wanted to do a series of tombstone reversals, but he added a spin, and Jerry Lynn was like, man, that looks awesome. That should be your finish. And it stuck. MLW looks like they're going to stick around on DAZN for a while. I've spoken to some MLW wrestlers about that new deal with DAZN, and MLW's heading back. And they have a new platform, and there are people in the company that are hoping that they can capture some boxing and MMA fans, even if it's a negligible amount. And none of the people that I spoke with indicated that this deal would be game-changing, but they do see as a significant foot forward, and the discussions gave some more confidence in the company. We have noticed, however, there's a lack of confidence in the brand after months of not running shows, and there are plenty of disgruntled talents that are limited in their negotiation options. We've seen both Davey Boy Smith Jr. and Brian Pillman put out there that they want their release and that they can't do a lot of stuff. But Pillman has been working at AEW. Those contracts are a little more open than some others are. But MLW is still obligated to fulfill dates on many of the contracts they signed and have to do it within a certain time. So Brian Pillman is signed through, say, next July. They've got a number of dates that they have to meet for him in that amount of time. Davey Boy Smith through December. That's just the way it rocks right now. Oh, we have a bunch of Impact Bound for Glory news. Basically, the whole card. As of last I'd heard, Ken Shamrock was set for a high-level match with Impact World Champion Eddie Edwards. There are going to be some people that love that, some people that don't love that. Shamrock had been feuding and teaming with Sami Callihan in recent months, and I wasn't told of any significant plans involving Sami Callihan. After returning at Slammiversary, Rich Swann and Eric Young's heated feud is expected to continue at Bound for Glory, and that's where they're supposed to culminate it. The plans call for a four-way Impact Tag Team Championship match with the Good Brothers, the North, Motor City Machine Guns, and Ace Austin and Madman Fulton. That would lead me to believe that the Rascals will be involved in a six-way X Division title match or a call-your-shot rumble. There's also an Impact Knockouts Championship match between Deonna Purrazzo and Kylie Rae tentatively scheduled for the show after Kylie Rae won a title shot at Slammiversary. So they filmed through Bound for Glory, so I'm pretty confident that these are the plans that are in order as of right now. AEW timing issues. If you thought the main event of AEW Dynamite was way shorter than you expected, that's for good reason. We were told that the Matt Hardy Sammy Guevara tables match was massively cut for time, and they even had to go to a commercial break in the middle of it. AEW sources informed Fightful that three segments on that AEW broadcast went heavy on time, and that led to the cut of the main event. That is a bummer because Matt Hardy had to delay this feud. He got hit in the face with a chair. Sammy's suspension caused a delay. Just bad luck at every turn right there. Got a feel for him. Got a feel for him there. Some positive news. Aiden English talked to me, and he spoke very highly of getting to work directly with Tom Phillips and Michael Cole when he was moved over to commentary. This comes after the positive reception that Michael Cole got from Renee Young upon her exit from WWE. But he says that he didn't get a lot of feedback. He being Aiden English, I should say, didn't get direct feedback from his bosses in WWE until he moved over to commentary. He clarified that he wasn't injured. He just was excited to try something new. And the positive feedback motivated him more. And he says his in-ring career is not over by any stretch and was a little bit surprised to get the call to do the World's Collide show in April 2019, which ended up working out pretty well for him. But he didn't wrestle again. Well, among those releases was a guy named Matt Cardona. My interview dropped with him today. And I would have liked to have had this up before then, but it was very good. I was very happy with that interview. It's one of my favorites. I asked him why the Major Wrestling Figure podcast didn't end up going the way of Up, Up, Down, Down and getting co-opted by WWE because it's a massive success. He said that he and Hawkins, Brian Myers, pitched a pod or a podcast, video show, whatever that may be, and WWE didn't want to do it. They did the Figure It Out episodes a bit, but they didn't do the Major Wrestling Figure podcast. And Cardona told me that he learned his lesson from Z True Hollywood Story, Z Long Island Story, whatever it was called. He learned his lesson about that 10 years ago because once he used the Zack Ryder name and the logos and all that stuff, it became WWE's. When you use their IP, it becomes theirs. And when he started his own Figure podcast with Brian Myers, they decided to do it on their own. That way they would always own it. And he said, thank God I did, and I learned my lesson last time. They saw a bunch of other people doing shows and podcasts and decided they would give it a go. And if they were told they couldn't do it, then whatever. But they didn't get told that. I mean, there was a point there were probably 10 WWE personalities doing podcasts. And now it's common. But a few years ago, that was not common. You would not see them do podcasts. When Bruce Pritchard was originally brought back, one of the things they wanted him to do was to give up his podcast. And he said that was non-negotiable. It's a giant revenue stream for him. And I'm sure it's a big one for Brian and Matt now as well. He told me that he loved Mojo Rawley personally, but hated working with him professionally. This came after Mojo sent in a reader question. I solicited questions from my Twitter following, and he sent one. And Cardona said that he enjoyed working with Mojo in the ring, but was over the tag team by the time they came back to the main roster. And they just kept getting paired together. There was one situation at Battleground 2016 that I thought was very funny. Cardona faced Rusev, and Mojo debuted, and Arn Anderson told Cardona that that was going to happen, and Cardona was like, what? Mojo's not here. What are you talking about? They had Mojo hidden on a bus, like he was Edge at the 2020 Royal Rumble or something. Like he's John Cena entering at number 30. They had Mojo on a bus. All due respect to Mojo, but like Jeremy Lambert said, you just would have assumed he was there visiting at Battleground 2016. Come on. Now, Cardona also told me that even though he'd been with WWE for 10 years, he was relieved when he got his WWE release because he had been very conflicted about whether or not he was actually going to re-sign with the company. Now, I asked him if they have reached back out because there are rumors that WWE has been reaching out to some of the released talent and trying to bring them back, even for less money. Cardona said he had not been contacted by them for that at all and said that he was pretty sure that everybody got the, well, we might bring you back eventually talk, but that he had not had that conversation there. The person that he had spoken to about coming into AEW was obviously Cody. It was a conversation that they had. They are good friends, and it's a place that he wants to be. But he was not sure that he wanted to spend another 5 years in WWE, and he had passed up a new deal around WrestleMania 2019. His WWE contract was up in August, so the funny thing is Cardona got let go in April. April 15th or whatever that may be. So he got signed or he got paid May, June, July. He was only going to get paid for like another month definitively after that under the terms of his deal. So they released somebody that was pretty well on his way out. I, like a lot of other people, thought that Matt Cardona was going to be a WWE lifer. Thought that that was just where he's going to be and he would stay there because, you know, he's been there for so long and he can provide a lot of different things from the Figure stuff to the in-ring to whenever he needs, tag team singles. And it didn't happen, and I was a bit surprised to learn that he wanted to leave so much. And he doesn't have sour grapes. He is very open in talking about things that just weren't good, but I think that he's handling it in a pretty mature manner. And he said, never say never. Everybody goes back. So, I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Thought it was a pretty good conversation. There's so much there. He said that he wants to be in AEW long term. He wants to compete for the TNT title, wants to compete for the tag team title, wants to do a lot of that stuff. Said he would love to team with Cody as well. But I wanted to publish that this week ahead of All Out. I don't know if he's going to be on it, but hey, you know what? When you don't get AEW interviews, you talk to the people who aren't signed. And that's what I'm doing. Well, some other people got signed. How about Anthony Green? WWE bought Evolve. They signed Anthony Green. And you know what you do when you can't interview WWE wrestlers? You interview them when you get a pretty good feeling they're about to get signed. I got an interview with Anthony Green dropping next week. Make sure you guys check it out. Now, if you all heard my Q&A last week, somebody said, hey, has Brandi Lauren been signed? And I said, I don't think she has yet. And then in the comment section about 12 hours later, after I checked on it, I said, I was wrong. So you never know. Check those comment sections. You never know what I might put out there, because low-key revealed that Brandi Lauren got signed. Kurt Stallion got signed. That was one that was a lot of these were pending physicals and stuff because it was a little more difficult for WWE to do that. But I know that WWE has been in talks with these people for months. Leon Ruff, of course, came in. And Josh Briggs was the surprise. There were a lot of people that I spoke to that thought that WWE was out on Briggs because of some recent things, allegations or whatever that may be. But they I guess they quote-unquote looked into it. I don't know how much they looked into it, whether they did, whether they didn't, anything like that. But he has been signed as well. So WWE bringing in a bunch of Evolve guys and girls. And also, from what I understand, a referee has been signed as well. Now, from what I understand, these might be short-term deals, like a prove-yourself type of deal. We'll see how that goes. Roman Reigns returned. Now, we mentioned that last week, but that wasn't the only return that SmackDown got. Sami Zayn is back. He showed up on the SmackDown this past week, toting around the Intercontinental Championship that he never lost. So that's quite a shot in the arm for WWE. Since moving to the Amway Center, the Thunderdome, they get back Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. That's unreal. That's awesome. Also back is Tommaso Ciampa. Now, this is definitely, it's in the Thunderdome era, but not in the Thunderdome. As he is at the Performance Center working for NXT, I thought he'd get called up, at least in the interim. Like, maybe he'd work in the Thunderdome for a couple of months, because he had always said, oh, I don't want to go to the main roster. A lot of the things to dissuade people from going to the main roster aren't necessarily there right now. The travel's not. It's in a more secure location, a safer location, and like I said, the schedule is the same. But in the matter of a week, WWE got back Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Tommaso Ciampa, and now Austin Theory. He is back on the NXT brand. He quietly had a bit of a suspension after the speaking out movement, but he is back in action. Karrion Kross, unfortunately, is not back in action. He is undergoing rehab for his separated shoulder. Hope he gets well soon. That is such a bummer to achieve what he achieved and then just be laid out. You got to feel for the guy. It's a bummer, man. Let's hit you with some stats. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio teamed together for the first time on WWE Raw. Bobby Lashley competed in, I think, 4 Raw Underground matches and an arm wrestling match last Monday. I don't know. Sasha Banks lost 3 times between the August 17th and August 24th WWE Raw, and 4 times if you extend that to WWE Payback. Bayley and Sasha Banks moved into second place all time in the women's tag team title days held record. Outside of a 5-day break, Bayley has held the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship for over 460 days. Nia Jax is the only SmackDown Raw Women's Champion to not hold that title cumulatively for at least 71 days. Asuka is now a 3-time World Champion, NXT Champion, Tag Team Champion, and has won Mixed Match Challenge, Money in the Bank, and the Royal Rumble. Dominic Mysterio and Seth Rollins had 3 matches in a week. Roman Reigns has not been pinned in his last 10 televised matches. He competed in his first since March 1st and his first televised match since February. Only one WWE payback match went over 12 minutes 42 seconds, which was the Mysterios against Rollins and Murphy. Riot Squads and Iconics had the ninth match in their feud at Payback. And the Riot Squad have won three matches as a team in August. Ruby Riott has won five WWE matches since July 20th. Bobby Lashley has won the United States Championship for the first time in 14 years. And Keith Lee defeated Randy Orton in 6 minutes, 40 seconds. This is the quickest one-on-one loss for Randy Orton since a 5-minute, 30-second loss to Rey Mysterio in 2018. Needless to say, Orton does not have many clean losses that quick. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.